what I want to speak to you about this afternoon is what is expected out of all of us. Depending on the different relationships and where we find ourselves in our lives, there's different expectations that's placed upon us. If we're in school and we're trying to learn a particular subject, the teacher has different expectations that we have to follow through to learn. If we're at work, our employer requires certain things of us, and we're expected to carry out certain responsibilities to keep that job. If we're married and we've made a vow to our husband and wife, there's expectations that each one carry to nourish that relationship. So what I want to focus on this afternoon is what God expects out of each individual. What does God expect out of me, and what does He expect out of you? I've come up with 3 points this afternoon, and it's nothing new. And a lot of the passages will be familiar to us all, and should be a lot of them should be to memory. But we want to focus on this afternoon and ask ourselves the question: are we doing what God expects out of us? If you would turn over to 2 Timothy 2:15. The first thing that I thought of that God expects out of us is He expects us to know His Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, and it reads, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." It says here to study, or be diligent, and to show thyself approved to God. We're not worried about what men think of us. We're worried about being approved of God, first and foremost. But we're also worried about rightly dividing the word of truth. We're to know the word of God that we can read and study and understand what God would have us to do. But more importantly, how can we teach and show others the way to heaven if we don't know ourselves? How can we be an example to others if we don't know the Word of God ourselves? Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." Here he compares the Word as newborn babes needing milk. As we can see some of the babies that we have in the congregation, if you take away their milk, they're going to die. They're not going to grow like they should. And here Peter's telling us that as newborn babes in Christ, these individuals needed the sincere milk of the Word. They needed that Word of God to grow. And turn back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, a passage that's familiar to all of us. 2 Timothy 3:15-17. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Here Paul is telling Timothy, you know those scriptures. You've known them from a babe, but he says they're making thee wise in the salvation of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is trying to tell Timothy, to focus upon the Word of God. And if you'll stay with the Word of God, that's all that matters. That's what's going to make thee wise. But he talks about in verse 16 there, that the Scriptures are from God. They're inspired for God, and they're for everything that we're going to need. They're for doctrine. They're for correcting people. They're for instruction in righteousness. They're for our instruction. And all that is focused upon the idea that that's how we become perfect. That's how we become complete in the sight of God, is knowing that Word and knowing and applying it to our lives. And I believe if you read back over in Acts 17, verse 11, where it talks about the Bereans being more noble than those in Thessalonica, that's the idea he's carrying out. They hadn't heard anything new or anything that Paul had dreamed up. But what they did do is they searched the scriptures to make sure it was from God and make sure that what Paul was saying was the true word of God. That's what made them more noble. That's my first point that I think we need to make sure, is that God expects us to know His Word. But He also expects us, or my second point is that He expects us to be a doer of that Word. It's not enough that we know what the Scriptures say. We can recite the entire Scripture, the entire Bible, but that's not enough. If you'll turn over to James chapter 1, verse 22. James 1:22. He said, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." If we're just hearing the word and we're not doing it, we're deceiving ourselves if we think that it's going to be pleasing to God. And we need to keep that in mind, that acting upon what God has told us is a serious matter. We discussed it this morning with Tim in the class about not doing what we should do. And David mentioned it in his lesson this afternoon, how that it's sinful. If you'll turn over to James, flip a few pages and turn over to James chapter 4. James 4:17. This passage tells us how serious it is, or should be, how serious it is to each one of us. It says, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, when I think of sin, I think of, I guess it's the way I think of it, which is you know, bad things. You know, we think of homosexuality or adultery or stealing or lying or murder. But here James is telling us that right in that list is if we know to do right and we don't do it, we're sinning against God. We're transgressing. We're missing that mark, as we talked about this morning. You know, it's not enough. I'll give you a good example. It's not enough just to have information and not be able to use it, or not be willing to use it. A few weeks ago at work, we went through CPR training. And I went through the class and was certified for CPR and first aid and all that went along with it. But you know, if I'm driving down the road and I come upon an accident and I see an accident and somebody needs help, what good is it that I know all of that if I just keep on going? And I never stop, I never offer anything that I know, any kind of help at all. And that's what I thought about when I was doing this lesson. Spiritually speaking, how many people do we walk by and we've got the help, we've got what they need in the Scriptures, but we just keep on going. And we never offer it. And we never try to meet their spiritual needs. So that's my second point, is that God expects us to be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. But thirdly, I want us to keep in mind that God wants us to continue serving Him. It's not enough to know the Word and to do it one time and to think we're done, and whatever point of the Scriptures that you want to point out, that it's a lifetime commitment that we all should be willing to do. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 through 58. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, Paul's telling the Corinthians here, first and foremost, we need to be thankful that we have that victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be thankful for the sacrifice that Christ offered upon the cross for each one of us. And if you compare it to a race, as it is in the Scriptures, that we're going to win someday. We're going to win if we'll follow what Christ and God has laid out for us in the Scriptures. We're going to be victorious. But he also, in verse 58, he says, "Therefore," which means this is why. This is why, my beloved brethren, that we're steadfast, that we should be unmovable, that we should be abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what our focus should be, that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is why. Because we want to meet that ultimate goal of going home. We want to make it to heaven, don't we? And Paul's telling the Corinthians that same thing right here. He's saying, be steadfast. Don't move. You know, be as an oak tree that stands and the winds come. It blows them a little bit one way or another, but he still stands. Don't be unmovable and always working and abounding in the work of the Lord. If you'll turn over to 2 Timothy. Turn back over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul gives us a little insight into his life as it's coming toward an end. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all them also that love his appearing." Paul's saying that's what I've done. I've lived my life. And if you go back and you study Paul's life, he wasn't always right with God. But he knew that when it was pointed out to him that he had transgressed against God, he changed from those things, and he lived the life. And he says, "I've got a crown of righteousness laid up for me in heaven." But what the best thing is on the end of that, not only is it for Paul, it's for all of us. It's for each and every one of us that are serving God and doing the will of God. And that's our ultimate goal. We hear David talk all the time about going home. That's what each one of us want. We want to go home. We want to go to heaven. We want to be pleasing to God in this life by doing His will. And when this life is over, we hope to go to heaven with Him. That's my lesson for this afternoon. I want us to keep in mind, you know, it's nothing new, and it seemed simplistic to me. But sometimes those are the things that we need to keep in mind, is that we need to make sure that God expects out of us to know His will. He expects us to do that word and do what He tells us to do, but He wants us to keep on keeping on. He wants us to keep serving Him. I haven't mentioned this afternoon the plan of salvation, but the truth is that if you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, you're not doing what's pleasing to God. And you're not going to make it home. You're not going to make it to heaven if you don't do what God has laid out in His Scriptures for us to do. But if you have been baptized and you've fallen away and things have come into your life, sin has come into your life and separated you from God, we ask that you would come as we stand and sing the invitation song.